Feminist women.
Mulheres feministas.
زنان feminist.
Vanyu vachikonzero chevakadzi.
نساء.
Mujeres feministas.
Young femini. Femactivist.
Nari mukti.
Matapang na babae. Kechimae. Ga ishk.
Welcome to Women's Magazine. I am Lisa Detmer, and I'm your host today. And today I talk with Adrian Torf, who is co-presenting along with Raymond O. Caldwell, a show called Poetry for the People, the June Jordan Experience, which will be at the Freight and Salvage for one night only on Tuesday, February 24th, performed by six actors from the Fountain Theater Los Angeles production and Jordan's collaborator and partner, composer, pianist, Adrian Torf. The show features Jordan's poetry, interviews, and other writing, along with her work set to music by Torf, John Adams, and Bernice Johnson Reagan. Again, the show is only one night at the Freight and Salvage in Berkeley on Tuesday, February 24th at 7 p.m., so make sure you get your tickets now before. And next up, I talk to local musician and composer Adrian Torf. Adrian and her collaborator Raymond O. Caldwell have produced an intimate portrait of well-known local legendary black feminist and activist scholar, teacher, and poet June Jordan. Their show combines her words of fierce commitment to justice and self-determination for all people with music and movement. The show, Poetry for the People, the June Jordan Experience, is being performed in Berkeley for one night only on February 24th at the Freight and Salvage. The show is performed by six actors from the Fountain Theater Los Angeles production and Jordan's collaborator and partner, composer, pianist, Adrian Torf. The show features Jordan's poetry, interviews, and other writing, along with her work set to music by Torf, John Adams, and Bernice Reagan. Poetry for the People, the June Jordan Experience, was honored with the Theater Washington Helen Hayes Charles MacArthur Award for Outstanding New Play in 2023. This performance on Tuesday, February 24th at the Freight and Salvage will be the only outside of Los Angeles this year. Premium tickets include admission to a post-show reception with the cast and sponsor, so go to the Freight and Salvage website to get more information about that show. Let's hear part of one song from that show before we go to that interview.
So trucks cruising down the avenue, carrying nuclear garbage right next to you, and it's legal. It's radio action riding like a regal load of jewels. Past the bars, the cruel schoolhouse, and the church. And if the trucks wipe out or crash or even lurch too hard around a corner, we will just be goners. And it's legal. It's radio action riding regal through the skittery city street. And don't be jittery, because it's legal. Radio action riding the road. Avenue A, Avenue B, Avenue C, Avenue D. Avenue of the Americas.
So hot, so hot, so hot. So what?
Welcome, Adrian Torf, to KPFA Radio's Women's Magazine. Adrian, you're bringing your show Poetry for the People, the June Jordan Experience, to the Freight for one night only on February 24th. This is a show which is mixing June Jordan's poetry, essays, and memoir and interviews with music. And it includes songs co-written by June and music by you as her longtime artistic and life collaborator, as well as music of Bernice Johnson Reagan, who I love, from Sweet Honey in the Rock, and composer John Adams. Can you talk about what your vision was in doing this show?
Yeah, first of all, I'm happy to be here, Lisa. Thank you for inviting me. This is a show that I co-devised with Raymond O. Caldwell, who was the director of a theater in Washington, D.C., and is now the director of a theater in Los Angeles. The vision actually came from Raymond. He, back in 2021, had planned to stage the opera that June wrote with composer John Adams and director Peter Sellers. But because of the restrictions on physical gatherings during the pandemic, that needed to be pushed out a year. His interest in June, which was nascent when he started that project, blossomed as he was learning more and more about her. And so he did enough research to find me called me, and we ended up co-devising this piece from June's written work, as you mentioned, her poetry, her memoir, interviews, columns, essays, and also from things other people said about June.
And this show is very timely, since just last year a new book came out on Haymarket Press called This Unruly Witness, June Jordan's Legacy, which is a beautiful homage to this powerful and beloved Black feminist activist queer poet, June Jordan, who sadly died from cancer way too young. And it's an homage by authors and friends of June, including Angela Davis and British filmmaker Pratibha Pamar, and activists and poets. I really loved one of the quotes that Becky Thompson said, who was one of the editors and a grassroots activist, when she wrote, "She found inspiration in Jordan's energy. She lived her life," Thompson writes, "as if it were a rushing river with inlets for rest and rapids, where she insisted that she and all those around her hold on for dear life." That's kind of my impression of her too, and I think KPFA listeners will remember Jordan, who was a strong supporter of Palestinian rights from early on, and wrote way back in 1982, after the Israeli bombing of Lebanon, "I was born a Black woman and now I become a Palestinian," which became an anthem for many in the Black community, as she really highlighted the connections between Black people's oppression here and Palestinian oppression in Israel-Palestine. Can you talk about the importance of June Jordan's work and the importance of remembering her and why this was important for you?
I'd be happy to. I would say that this is in many ways June's moment. What I am hearing from audiences and from the cast, going all the way back to the first production in 2022, is that June speaks to a very contemporary worldview, which we now characterize as being intersectional. June did that all along, but in the 70s and 80s and 90s, there wasn't a common understanding of what that meant. And certainly on the part of the publishing industries and media, there was an insistence that a Black woman poet speak only from the specific experience that they assumed to be the experience of a Black woman poet. So yes, June was speaking out about Palestine. She was speaking out about Northern Ireland. She was speaking out, obviously, about South Africa. And she was equally speaking out about things happening in our own communities and here in the United States. So I think of this, Lisa, less as a looking back, as a bringing June into this moment. And as you point out, people are thirsty for June's writing, for her voice, for her perspective.
I think that's so true. I find that happening a lot nowadays, that a lot of young people are just rediscovering the histories that of the 80s, 90s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and really finding, you know, solace and inspiration in it. And just as I think we're learning from the young people of today, who have included like self-healing and joy as a radical resistance. I mean, I remember June Jordan, and I think most people do, as very uncompromising and a real truth teller.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a 19-year artistic partnership with June Jordan. Mm-hmm. You wrote numerous works, including a full-length musical documentary opera called Bang Bang Uber Alice.
Mm-hmm.
And some of your work is captured on your album, June Jordan and Adrian Torf Collaboration, Selected Works. How did you come to be a collaborator with June Jordan? What did that mean to you, and why combine music and poetry?
June and I began collaborating at her invitation. I was on the road with Linda Tillery, the singer, and we were on a double bill with Meg Christian and Diane Lindsay in Minneapolis in 1983. June opened the evening's program reading some of her poetry. Linda Tillery and I played our set. Meg Christian and Diane Lindsay played their set. And afterwards, June asked to meet me. So I went into the green room, her dressing room, actually. And she explained to me, looking as beautiful as she always did, very beautifully tailored wool suit and smoking one of those long brown cigarettes that she smoked. She explained to me that she wanted to collaborate as two people working together from the inception. Other people had set her poetry to music. Leonard Bernstein had, obviously. She and Bernice Johnson Regan had worked together. But she wanted to write together and I gladly accepted.
And what did that mean to you, especially doing an interracial collaboration, and what did her work mean to you personally?
I will fully admit that I was not familiar with June's work at the time, and I was one of legions of people who were intimidated by poetry. I went from that Minneapolis show not long after to New York, where I stayed with some college friends who were more literate than I. I mentioned to them that this poet named June Jordan had invited me into this collaboration. One of them immediately pulled out one of June's volumes of poetry and said, "You have to do this." So that was my other introduction to June. What it meant to me, most of all, Lisa, was on a very personal level. June saw me as the composer and musician that I believe I'm in the world to be. Yes, there was the racial difference. Obviously, June Black, I'm white. There was also a 19-year difference in our ages. But in that collaboration, there was an utter sense of trust and a shared vision in what we were creating together, which always had a political purpose to it. Obviously, June's poetry always had a political purpose to it because she was writing it as the poet that she was. The work that we wrote was equally political in its intent, and in our hope that it carried the voices of people from all over the planet in ways that other people could find themselves in our work.
I've seen you perform on the piano locally, Adrian, and you are really a fabulous musician. Can you tell the audience about your music, and how did you come to play this form of music, and what does music mean to you?
I started taking piano lessons when I was 3 and a half, thanks to my mother, who had a sense that I was interested, largely because she would take me along with my brother to his piano lessons, my older brother, and she heard me humming some of the songs that he was learning, some of the pieces. I would say, actually, that any three-year-old that's exposed to a repeated melody will end up humming it back or singing it back, but it was a lucky break, and fortunate that the woman down the street who gave all of us on the block piano lessons was willing to take me on at such an early age, a woman named Beatrice Siegel in West Newton, outside of Boston. And Mrs. Siegel taught me the language of music, Lisa, at the same time she was teaching me how to play this instrument, this magnificent instrument, the piano. So music is the first language I learned to read and write. And I assume that I came into the world with some inclination to be musical. But I have to credit her training and all the training I got after that with convincing me, although it wasn't hard to convince me, with sort of affirming, actually, that that's why I'm here. I've done other things. I went and I got an MBA and worked for 25 years in nonprofit finance. But at the piano is where I belong, both with other musicians and other performers, and also as a place where I feel most at home in communicating with other people through the music that I write.
That was an interview with well-known musician and composer Adrian Torf talking about their Poetry for the People, the June Jordan Experience show being performed at the Freight and Salvage on February 24th for one night only. The Poetry for the People, the June Jordan Experience show, is a once-in-a-lifetime experience, so don't wait till it sells out to get tickets, which you can find on the Freight and Salvage website. Doors open at 6 p.m. and the show starts at 7 p.m. and premium tickets will include admission to a post-show reception with the cast and sponsors. The show will also be live-streamed. And we will go out with a part of another song from that show, which is called Death to the Klan, in Freedom Now Suite Part 4. That's it for Women's Magazine today. I've been your host, Lisa Detmer. Stay safe, stay strong, and stay in the streets.
I grieve the sorrow roar, the sorrow sob of many more, left hand or right, black children and white men, the mountaintop, the mob. I grieve the sorrow roar, the sorrow sob, the fractured staring at the night. Thank you.
Sometimes I say sometimes America.
Sometimes America
drones down on the earth.
The shame skate knock rock territory.
Oh yes it does.
Losing shape. Oh, and the southern earth like blood rolls. Yes it does. Cold, gigantic weeping. I say weeping. I say weeping willow flood. I see that lunatic good father and that lovely land. Lord, Lord, that graveyard growing. Trees remark where men, hear me now, where men. Lord, where another black man died. He died again. He died. The river of his voice turning around the world. These times begin the ending of all lies. The fantasies of seasons start and stop. The circle leads to no surprise, for death does not bewilder, only life can kill. These times begin the ending of all lies.
These times begin the ending of our lives. Surrender only when the body dies. These times begin the ending of our lives. The circle leads to no surprise.
The king was marching through the Mississippi mud. The king was moving to a land of milk and honey.
And the spirit of the people has become the song.
And the spirit of the people has become the king.
And the spirit of the people has become the song.